It's time to separate fact from fiction and health fads. It's time for the Dr. Holly Lucille Show. Here's Dr. Holly.
Well, thank you so much for coming back, and I am thrilled for this segment. As I led into this, we were talking about the seven everyday chemicals, and you know, that's the surprising thing I think about that quote, everyday chemicals that are linked to lung cancer. And I have the pleasure of having a very esteemed, he is an esteemed doctor with me on this segment to help us through this and also tell us how we can avoid these chemicals and what we can do to remedy the situation. He's the founding physician of California Heart and Lung Surgery Medical Center. He maintains a very busy active cardiothoracic surgery practice in Los Angeles, so we are extremely happy to have him here. Dr. Alexander Marmoruno. I think I probably just botched that, but gosh darn it, I am sorry, and I'm still really happy that you're here.
Well, good morning from Los Angeles. I know you guys are on the East Coast, so, good afternoon. So, and thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, it is my pleasure, and I actually am right down the street from you, right here in Los Angeles, believe it or not.
Oh, perfect. You know, somehow, you guys on the East Coast, but again, nice being on your show, and I have to let you know what you guys and your listener already know, that lung cancer is the leading cause of cancer-related deaths, probably for over 1 million deaths worldwide each year. So I think that makes an interesting topic when we talk about all those chemicals.
Yeah, so tell us what you know, because, you know, my whole shout out has always been as far as, you know, the increased headlines, and every time we understand about we are really the first generations exposed to such a chemically dependent society, that we need to fight hard to reduce exposure wherever we can. So take control where we can. But yeah, this is something that you definitely have done a lot of research and work in. And so please tell us about these compounds and also how people can really go about reducing exposure and avoiding them.
Well, it's a very good question. I'm a surgeon. I'm a cardiothoracic surgeon. So I operate on a lot of people's cancer. So when it comes time to get them in the office and talk to them about their disease, there are a lot of things that you learn. Obviously, smoking is one of them, and that's, we all know about it. But other than smoking, when we get to chemicals, you know, there have been studies which shows that arsenic is one of the problems. Other chemicals like 1,3-butadiene and cadmium all are involved. Formaldehyde. All those compounds are being found in some of them in whatever we use on a day-to-day basis, like furniture polish, like tar and bug remover. Obviously, asbestosis. Well, those days we don't have much time for asbestosis, but vinyl chloride, the plastic industry. The problem comes because there is no clear correlation. I mean, there have been, again, a lot of studies, and mostly there is, we based our results on toxic release inventory, database and surveillance. There is a database which addresses all those issues. And again, there is no crystal clear association, meaning that you touch some plastic objects that contain vinyl chloride and there is a very high likelihood that you will get cancer. Probably not. However, all those compounds, they've been associated with cancer. So the biggest correlation between smoking and cancer, even though, as you know, a lot of people that don't smoke, they get cancer. So again, it's a bit difficult to say how we're going to avoid this. However, being fully aware of the existence of the association, I think will help people to better judge their day-to-day action, you know.
Yeah. So how can people prevent harm from these cleaning and household products that you talk about, these everyday chemicals? How can they prevent and reduce exposure?
Well, most of the people that are not involved, they're not involved, let's say, in the asbest business or nickel or arsenic, cadmium, chromium. I mean, those are all very industrial compounds. And, you know, for people like us living on the West Coast of Los Angeles, chances are we're not going to be much exposed to those compounds. The factories workers that they work in those environments usually are very well trained into how to manage those compounds. Again, there is no magic bullet in regards to what should you do or what you shouldn't do. However, my personal advice is that, you know, if it doesn't look right, stay away from it. Again, compounds, they contain arsenic, cadmium, chromium, formaldehyde, nickel. You have to be very careful in manipulating them.
Right, and you're talking, I mean, we're talking about aerosol sprays, health and beauty aids, cleaning products, air fresheners, chlorine bleach, detergents, dishwashing liquid, dry cleaning chemicals, rug and upholstery cleaners, furniture and floor polish, oven cleaners, as you said. And so what do you think about, you know, I always try to teach people that if it's quote-unquote eco-friendly, and of course there's the whole greenwashing, so we have to make sure that we're really understanding what we're purchasing, but if it's good for the environment, there's a good chance that it's going to be more acceptable for exposure to our body as well. Wouldn't you agree?
100%. You're 100% right. And again, people have to use common sense. From a research point of view, from a data point of view, among all those chemicals that we spoke about, formaldehyde showed the strongest association with lung cancer incidence. But again, formaldehyde is nothing that we're using on a daily basis. I mean, this is being used in the pathology labs, in certain industries, but, you know, on a day-to-day basis, most of the people don't have contact with it.
That's right. Now, all right, so you obviously lung cancer. You see lung cancer quite a bit.
Absolutely, every day.
Every day, right. And I think that, you know, I've had a couple people in my life, and smokers and non-smokers, that have come down with this this disease that you have definitely demonstrated is the number one cause of cancer deaths in America. What are some of the symptoms of lung cancer? What should people watch out for themselves or family members if this is going to be a concern or something that they really need to check out?
Well, that's a very, very, very good question. Number one, unexplained cough. Somebody who didn't have a cough or the cough is not getting better after a week or so, you know, has to be investigated. It doesn't necessarily mean that you cough, you're going to have cancer, but it's something that you want to look into this. People get x-rays once in a while. People those days, they get a lot of CAT scans just to go to the ER. They get trauma. Got to look for masses. Got to look for nodules. It's nothing that you can avoid, but, you know, paying attention to all those studies definitely help. Hemoptysis, which means basically blood in your sputum. It's a very worrisome sign. Again, a little bit of blood in the sputum doesn't necessarily mean there could be other sources and other causes for this, but you will be, you should be worried, and you should see a specialist.
So, you know, I think that's great advice, and I always say, hey, if in doubt, check it out. And a lot of people, I was talking to actually a patient today, and she came back with very critical labs, and we weren't even looking. We were actually just doing some thyroid panels, right? We were looking for a little bit of a autoimmune thyroiditis, and I thought, well, she hadn't had a CBC in 7 years or so, so I added that on, and she came back with very critical labs and probably a myeloprolific disease. I mean, that's what the pathology, the blood pathology said, and so I was really encouraging her that I'm like, listen, we just need to start this due diligence process. It's the algorithm. This is something that we can't just jump to, hey, how's your thyroid doing? This is what we just need to, if in doubt, check it out. And I think people need to really just understand that they can partner with their diagnostic doctors and just get information along the way. One of her big things, Dr. Alexander, is that she thought that she was going to lose her sense of saying no, like that, you know, she didn't want to do a bone marrow biopsy right away. And I think that, as you say, with lung cancer, deadly disease, right? So if you have these symptoms, unknown origin and cough, you have any blood in your sputum, in your spit, you just got to get it checked out, and then we can go from there, correct?
Absolutely. It's common sense. And just
it's
like you
sense.
Said, you know, if you don't feel right, perhaps go see your doctor and get an x-ray. You'll be amazed. The x-ray is going to show some sort of unusual finding. It will be followed up by a CT, which might show something else. Next thing you know, it could be a bronchoscopy, which is going to, you know, it's a tube down the endobronchial tree and might be able to get some biopsies. I mean, again, it's common sense. Just follow the algorithm.
All right.
You'll be in better shape.
Thank you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I really appreciate you being here. Knowledge is power. So if in doubt, partner with your doctor and get it checked out. This is Dr. Holly Lucille. It's Mindful Medicine on Radio MD. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Your Radio MD. Thanks for listening.